broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And happy birthday to you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Oh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts and continues always on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for, what is it, February the 4th? That's right, in the year of our Lord, 2020.
February the 24th.
Oh, what did I say?
February the 4th. That's July the 4th.
Whose birthday is it anyway? All right, it's Kurt Cosby's birthday, yeah. February the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2020, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday, Kurt.
Thank you. That's a nice song. You'll have to send me the link so I can play it. I'll just let people hear on the rebroadcast. Sounds good. Who is this?
It's DJ Bobo, bro.
Of course.
Heck yeah, DJ Bobo. You don't know about that, Kirk? Come on.
I know. I gotta catch up.
Can I be honest? I didn't know anything about DJ Bobo, too, until I started looking for a birthday song for Kirk Cosby. But see, now I'm educated. Now I do know. But I didn't know before because I don't know all the tunes. Right? But it's a cool tune in my... I kind of like it, you know?
Yeah. It is good.
Now, Kurt, I got to tell you, though. It is your birthday, and it's a wonderful day, and I, you know, that's all true story. But it's a couple of other interesting things to celebrate birthday-wise as well. If my dear mother were alive, she'd be 90 years old today. See, my mother and Kurt Cosby's birthday is the same day, you know?
Birthday. Yeah.
But my mom would have turned 90. Kurt's only going to turn what, 50, 40, 30?
62 today.
Oh, 62 years young.
And my grandparents on my mom's side, it was their anniversary, so it was nice. It's kind of like you used to say, you know, if you could just put all the birthdays on one day, you know, you just say happy birthday and you get it all done.
Yeah, right? And it's not really that I want to just put them all on one day to get it over with. You know, some would think that I'm just negative, and they're like, no way, we don't want to ruin all this opportunity to celebrate. And I get that, and I don't want to ruin the opportunity to give people their, I don't know what you want to say, appreciation for who they are or whatever, that, you know, celebrate with them. But we just can't have just like 100% celebration all the time. And when you get families as large as Kurt Cosby's, right, or as large as mine for that matter, mine's not near as big as Kurt's because I'm younger and I don't have as many children. But when you get large families like we have, folks, I'm just telling you, it's like birthday every other day. And it's fantastic. Don't misunderstand the point. I'm just saying it's very hard to work when it's birthday every other day. See what I'm talking about? It's very hard to carry on normal life when it's birthday because, you know, you want to celebrate everybody's that means things to you. So I'd love to do a whole lot more with Kurt Cosby's family and celebrate with them and everything. But look, how do I, you know, spend time with Kurt for his birthday? Let's say that I want to take him out to lunch for his birthday. Well, man, Kurt's got a wife and 11 children. And how many grandchildren now, Kurt? Every time I talk to you, there's more, which is a blessing, right?
23 and waiting on number 24.
See, what a blessing that is, right? I mean, think about that. 23 plus 11, that's 34 plus mom and dad, that's 36 people in just what? The immediate family, and I haven't even counted the spouses yet, right, Kurt?
That's right.
And if 11 of them have spouses, now we're at 36, 46, we're like 47 people. And we're just talking about the immediate family. When I say immediate, I mean children, grandchildren, and mom and dad, right?
We had, that's right. And we had had a nice little portrait, you know, basically. In other words, we all stood there for when Gabriel was getting married in August of last year.
And Gabriel's what, third to the youngest?
Yeah. Okay. And we got everybody there, you know, including Gabriel's new wife, you know.
See, that's
everybody
just incredible.
Was there. And we realized, hey, what are we 8 months later, or I don't know, maybe 6 months later, somewhere in there, seven. We've already got pretty much another three people to add, you know, with
yeah,
the new
but
babies.
That, that's not a baby for the one that just husband. Got married. Let's make sure no one's confused on
no,
that.
No, you know? That's right.
But see, but then, you know, later they'll have a child, I'm sure, at some point or whatever, and then there'll be more. But so, yeah, photos get out of photos get out of date quickly, and we want to include everybody. But see, so what a blessing. So see, I love Kurt. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. If there's anybody I'd be in a, if I was in a war and I'd want to be in the trench, it'd be with Kurt. If there's anybody that I'd, you know, want to do radio with for over 25 years, it'd be Kurt. You know, I know on the radio we have a little bit of tension from time to time, and it's because, you know, people think it's great radio, right? It's because people like to see different opinions. It's because, hey, sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we're creating political dissonance to make a point or to highlight a topic or whatever. But you know what? Kurt's one of my dearest friends in the whole world. And so a big shout out, happy birthday to Kurt. And, you know, like I say, I'd love to spend time with him. But not only does he have all those birthdays, when you've got 36 people in the immediate family and you can't forget about anybody, right? When you wouldn't want to anyway. Man, there's just a lot. And then you got Kurt's family. What I mean is his brothers and sisters and his parents. So grandma and grandpa to his children, et cetera. And then you got his wife's parents and they're okay. And the brothers and sisters. And, you know, you want to celebrate with everybody. The problem is, how do you be there? Because, see, I want to celebrate with all those people. I know Kurt's family, like every one of them, dearly. And I think the world of all of them. And I'd love to be. But how do you do that? I got my own eight kids. And we're going to have another grandchild. So we're going to have five grandchildren and eight children. And so, you know, I got four children married. So that's 8 and 4 is 12. And the five grandchildren, that's 17. And me and my wife, that's 19. And see, we're just getting started compared to the Crosbys. They're over double what we've got. But that's how it happens is the point. And that's the blessings that life brings when you multiply and replenish the earth. You just get surrounded by loved ones everywhere. And it's wonderful. So I don't say I wish all the birthdays were on one day in a literal sense. Of course not. I want to celebrate with everybody. But I say it just because at some point you got to say, man, maybe we just do a birthday once a month to celebrate and highlight people's birthdays for that month. I mean, how do you best reverence and appreciate and spend time and celebrate with everybody, but yet not make it like so overwhelming? I mean, what about people that have to travel to come? So I've got a son that lives, you know, 100 miles or 80 miles north and a daughter that's 40 miles south of where we live. We're grateful they're near, but, you know, near is a relative term. You know, how do they travel every time to every event all the time? Hey, so-and-so's got a basketball game. Well, you want to be there. It's the championship, right? And so-and-so's got this, and so-and-so got a promotion at work, and, man, we want to go to lunch and celebrate that. And pretty soon it's just like, man, we're ready to party 24-7, and we can't even work. But I say that in the most loving way, that, you know what, how do we, I'd love some way to not have a lot of conflicts and just have this incredible balance opportunity to where I could, you know, just celebrate those things. So anyway, incredible birthday to Kurt today. And my mother, if she was alive, would be 90 years old today. A big shout out to her and for all that she's done because of her loving kindness efforts and her patriotism. Yeah, me on the radio. Some say that's a blessing. Some say that's a cursing, but there you have it. And I might add that 2 days ago was George Washington's birthday, February the 22nd. And he would be 288 years old, Kurt, 2 days ago. And I normally would have celebrated
happy
that
birthday
on Friday, but I wasn't feeling well. Or I mean, on Saturday, the actual day, but I wasn't feeling well. So I did a rebroadcast for the show, but I want to celebrate George Washington's birthday, too. And Lowell Nelson, you missed the birthday song, brother.
Sorry, man. I'm sure it was good.
You can wish Kurt a happy birthday today and a celebration of George Washington's birthday, 288 years old. What, 3 days ago now? Or 2 days ago now?
Well, that's awesome, Kurt. So happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much.
What do you think about that, though? George Washington would be 288 2 days ago, sir.
Oh, I think that'd be great. I look forward to meeting him soon.
Could you imagine if he was around today, though?
Yeah.
I mean, what would he be saying? What would he be thinking?
Well,
I mean, just imagine if one of these news babe, female anchors from CNN said, George, the country you built's melting down today, huh? Just trying to bait him and cause trouble. What do you think the great general, the humble servant of America, would say, sir?
I think he would say we need to turn back to God. Every soul on, you know, in the country and every state needs to bend a knee and turn back to God if we expect to reclaim this country.
Wow. We celebrate birthdays and celebrate pro-life as we start the broadcast, and we start to wrap up the first segment with Lowell Nelson saying we need to turn to God. See, that's what this radio program is about, Kurt. That's who we are. That's what we do, right?
Amen.
Poor Roger Stone got sentenced to 40 months in prison, but they say his retrial is still under consideration. And I guess Trump tweeted a tweet from a clip on Tucker Carlson's show suggesting a presidential pardon might be under consideration. Anyway, what do you think of that, Lowell?
Well, I think that would be good. I think when Roger Stone story, I mean, they're just out for vengeance, retribution.
Somebody some are saying that, you know, he's guilty, but the crime doesn't fit the sentence. Others are saying he shouldn't go to jail at all, and I'm kind of in the middle. And I don't think that Roger Stone's a perfect guy, but I do not believe Hillary should be running around.
No.
And some of these other people that have committed high crimes and misdemeanors without a doubt should be just running around free, and Roger Stone should take the beating for all of it. I don't think so.
Right.
By the way, Harry Reid says Barack Obama and Michelle Obama will save Democrats in 2020. Weird stuff. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, sadly, Brock runs around free, even though he spied on President Donald Trump as a candidate using all the resources of your government. Wow. He's running around free, but Steve Stockman's in jail? Insanity, ladies and gentlemen. Nevertheless, we'll move right along. I guess Utah County is in the news. They've tried to raise property tax, but yet folks are starting to push back. They're putting a referendum. RejectTaxIncrease.com is the website to learn more about it. RejectTaxIncrease.com. Wow, that domain could be used for a gazillion things, couldn't it, Lowell?
I'll say that could be used over and over.
Wowzers. Anyway, but this is a serious issue because these bureaucrats did this. They don't want to have the people vote on these kind of things. They don't want to have a debate ahead of time. They just want to kind of slam dunk it, hopefully enough before election time that they can get away with it. But this time, they're not getting away with it so easy, are they?
No, they're not, Sam. Have people come up to me, you know, when I'm carrying this petition, gathering signatures on this referendum petition. Referendum in Utah, by the way, for those who aren't familiar with it, allows the citizens to overturn the decision of a legislative body, whether that be city council or a county commission or a state legislature, by gathering a certain percentage of those registered voters' signatures who voted in, in the previous presidential election. So, for example, if you have 5% of those who voted, cast a vote in the last presidential election, then typically that's enough for a large county to put the question on the ballot. So this tax increase that was passed in December was a 67% increase, Sam. They really wanted 100%, but they heard the public outcry and they backed it down to 67.4% increase. I mean, most people are okay with a 1 or 2 or maybe even a 3% tax increase, but a 67% increase, it's unthinkable. And so we're pushing back against that. We've got a lot of people carrying these booklets, these referendum petitions, gathering signatures. We still need your help. We still need your signature. If you live in Utah County and you want to help, then please visit rejecttaxincrease.com to help. You at least get your signature on the referendum petition. And if you can do more than like carrying a booklet and gathering signatures in your own neighborhood, in your own backyard, that would be most helpful. We still have several thousand signatures to gather in order to put this question on the ballot in November to allow all the citizens of Utah County to vote to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on this tax increase.
And I feel two ways on this. On one hand, I'm kind of not a referendum guy because I say, wait a minute, you guys elected these people. If they sell you out and vote against what, you know, the people want or expect, then we always can turn them out next election. That is what we ought to be doing. The problem is it's kind of like term limits, though. I'm not really a term limits guy either, for the same principle, if you will. However, the problem is that they've gotten to where they're entrenched politicians to where you can't really vote them out as easy as you hope, okay, for a lot of reasons. I'll give you an example. Tulsi Gabbard goes all out against the DNC over the rule change that put Bloomberg on the debate stage. So they're just changing the rules, and they just do things that make it very hard for the appropriate checks and balances to work. And if they circumvent the checks and balances, at some point we need to be able to fight back. And so in the old days, I would say I reject it on principle. In the new days, though, I would say, you know what, Kurt Cosby would say, you know what, Sam, it's not perfect, but it's trending in the right direction. Do you want lower taxes, yes or no? Well, this ought to be, you know, we ought to get rid of this whole thing and do it right. Kurt would say, Sam, you're right. In the reality, at the end game, you're right. But in the meantime, are you going to help or not? Are you going to look at the little incremental gain? Are you going to vote for lower taxes, or are you just going to do nothing? So, see, I would have to support this as well, because I'm learning about this idea that says, you know what? Yeah, of course you want the whole thing done tomorrow, Sam. You want patience. You want it now. But you know what? There is value to saying, let's do a referendum. Let's let them know on no uncertain terms that, one, we're not even saying that we want to overturn what the legislative body has done. We're saying we want the people to decide. Let's put it up to a vote. And I think that's wise, and still think that leaves a check and a balance. And so I think it's trending in the right direction, Lowell. Do you want to respond to that? I think it's an important thing to discuss, because a lot of people on principle are going to go, no, we're not a democracy, let's not do that. But with the way they manipulate the rules and the way they do things, and they simply tamper with the appropriate checks and balances to where we've got to change the game slightly, and we've got to make incremental gains.
Right. I tend to agree there, Sam. I don't particularly like legislation by initiative, where people actually make law by gathering signatures. I think that's kind of a slap in the face to republicanism, to representative government. But in the case of a referendum, you're actually attempting to nullify a piece of legislation. And because governments, for the most part, 99% of the time, governments tend to just simply increase power, grow in size, and reach and influence, and they you know, steal property from their citizens, then I think it's very appropriate and necessary from time to time for the citizens to be able to push back, to veto bad legislation, bad ideas. And in particular, Sam, the founders, the framers actually considered during the convention there in Philadelphia a measure which would have, they said, maybe for revenue in, you know, for taxes, then maybe we need a 2/3 threshold instead of just a majority threshold. And And they actually toyed with that idea, and I think it would have been a good one. I think maybe the bureaucrats of that age, you know, won that particular argument. But just think, there would be far fewer tax increases if it had to be accomplished, you know, by a two-thirds vote of a state legislature or of a U.S. Congress or something like that. Because, and in fact, it seems to me reasonable that no tax increase ought to be passed unless the people agree that they need the tax increase. If you put everything up to a vote, we actually had that. And Steve White, I think, proposed this in for the Utah County Commission probably two decades ago. He said, not one red cent. Never will I vote to increase the taxes of the people by myself. I will put it on the ballot and let them increase their own taxes if they want, but never will I increase it on them unilaterally. Very interesting approach.
Well, and it does make the point, too, that when are you serving me versus when do you have your own interests and own agenda at heart? And that's kind of at the crux of this discussion. It reminds me a little bit, too, of a fully informed jury idea, where we come back and say, listen, the last line of defense we the people have is to judge not only the case before us, but the law backing it. If we believe the law is bogus or unconstitutional or immoral or whatever, we can say, you know what? I don't care if this person may not have paid the IRS. The fact is, the IRS is a bogus, unconstitutional, abusive, hostile criminal agency, and we got to stop this. Let's let this citizen go free, because we need to make a point that, you know what, government has got above the people, and it's got to stop. And so I think this really, to some degree, is kind of like a fully informed jury, in the sense that it creates the opportunity to get another check and balance. It's kind of a safety valve so that the people don't get too frustrated and feel like they're too crushed by their representatives. It's kind of a way to push back and show our displeasure and point out, hey, rep, hey, senator, on the state level or even federal level in some cases, we want you to go this way. You didn't get it. I know you're kind of surrounded by lobbyists, but you need to be paying attention to us because we're in charge. At some point, it is taking we're in charge back. Do you want to add to this, Kurt? I think there's some value to all sides of it, and I didn't bring it up to cause controversy, but I wanted to kind of explore the issue a little bit so people understand really the principles and what's at stake, and kind of live in the here and now, live in the teach to the ideal to some, live in the real, and what can we do about it, and you know, how do we bring those two closer together, Kurt?
Well, appropriate to talk about George Washington at the time we do this, because I'm sure he would have preferred, an overnight success. You know, it's like these people that, they're greeted and said, man, you're a 50-year overnight success or, whatever it is. And the bottom line is, it's a principle that it takes a long time to get things done. I was noticing, I guess just recently, the president and his wife are visiting India, and they got to see the Taj Mahal. And, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing, but it wasn't built in a minute. You know, it took a while to get it done. And, you know, America wasn't built, overnight. I mean, it's taken a long time either for the enemies of freedom to do what they've done or for the friends of liberty to do what they've done, and we've got to continue on.
Amen. We talked about this on Friday, but I'll reiterate the point because it's relevant right now. Headline says this: CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, global tax system needs to be overhauled. Reuters. What do you say to that, Wall?
Well, I don't think we have a global tax system. So his saying we need to overhaul it, I think, is nonsensical. But a lot of people would like to see a global tax system.
Well, and if you don't have one and you overhaul it, then pretty soon you do have one. So you may be duped right on the spot, huh?
Exactly right, yeah.
Anyway, I just found that comical in a way. Scary as all get out in another way. See what I'm talking about? All right, for Sam, Kurt, and Lowell, back in a flash. When we come back, there's a lot of bills in Utah we want to talk about. Now, don't duck out if you're not from Utah, because a lot of these bills are happening in your state, whether you know it or not. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump weighing in on the Democratic presidential race as he continues a tour of India. Speaking to reporters just before a visit to the Taj Mahal, Trump was asked about the Democratic frontrunner who notched another win on Saturday in the Nevada caucuses. Trump saying about Bernie Sanders, quote, "I actually think he would be tougher than most of the other candidates as he is a lot like me, but I have a much bigger base." In a 60 Minutes interview on CBS last night, Sanders himself was talking about going up against Trump.
Anyone who tells you that Donald Trump is not going to be a tough opponent is kidding themselves.
Fans will be packing the Staples Center later today to say a final farewell to L.A. Lakers legend Kobe Bryant at a public memorial service. He was killed in a helicopter crash last month. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Federal health officials calling off a plan that would have transferred quarantined coronavirus patients to Alabama. The plan canceled yesterday after residents and local officials in Calhoun County were raising concerns about the idea. The feds were planning to transfer the patients from the Diamond Princess cruise ship that's been docked off the coast of Japan to a FEMA facility in Anniston. The city council there voting to pursue legal action over the proposal, and hours after it announced that it would do so, federal and state officials announced a change in plans. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says he hasn't seen any intelligence showing that Russia is trying to help President Trump win re-election. On ABC's This Week, O'Brien called it the same old story before adding that it was a non-story. The New York Times did previously report that House lawmakers were informed that Russia is seeking to have Trump re-elected. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you got to rejecttaxincrease.com. Check it out. That really relates to all kinds of taxes. We the people need to stand boldly, nobly, independently, and keep money in the hands of our family, not in the hands of our government. That's for sure. I got good news for Kurt on his birthday, though. Krispy Kreme's is leaping into delivery USA Today. So, Kurt, you can get Krispy Kreme's delivered for your birthday, buddy.
Hallelujah.
See?
Yeah, we, one of the daughters actually made that delivery earlier. And
oh,
so,
phenomenal.
We did have to deal with that.
Do some research. Situation. I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Darn right. All right, there's a lot of bills in Utah that need attention, and they need attention now because how many days are left of the, in the reign of terror called the legislative session in Utah, Lowell?
A couple weeks, man.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. Anyway, there's a lot going on, and it's up in front of you. Now, let's talk about HB 323. What do they call this thing? School mental health amendments?
Yeah, it's a bad bill, Sam. And even though you don't live in Utah, you know, if you're listening to this and you don't live in Utah, don't worry. This is not a waste of time. Your legislature is considering something like this. Mark my words.
Because if they're not now, they already have. And if they're not now, they certainly will soon, right?
That's right. Yeah, this bill is sponsored by Steve Eliason, and it would require the State Board of Education and the Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health to develop or select a mental health screening tool to be administered annually to students in public schools, to collect, store, and analyze data from the screening, make recommendations for interventions for students based on the results of the screening tool, and have an LEA work with the school mental health professional to provide recommended interventions in
I got an idea. Why don't we just do this to our legislative body first? We'll do that for several years. We'll determine how well it works. If it works phenomenally, then we can go ahead and apply that to the schools after that. What do you think?
Yeah, it'd be nice, yeah. Give them a taste of their own medicine.
Well, and I'm just saying, don't these people understand that it's a flat-out violation of freedom? Look, there's no probable cause. There's no justification. There's no, okay, there's not even a due process necessity here. There's nothing but a witch hunt on, quote, mental health, if you will. They would claim it's kind and caring and loving, but what it really becomes is the state determines the rules of mental illness. You and I would be in the clink before you know it, buddy.
That's right. And if you believe in God, Sam, you know, I think that's probably a mental illness.
Well, it's a crutch for the weak-minded, don't you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we should lock you up, just put you in the slammer right now, Sam.
Well, and how dare you talk about lowering taxes? Don't you know the government has needs? I mean, what kind of mental illness is that?
Yeah, I'm sure they have a name for that. That's just mentally sick, Sam.
Kurt Cosby celebrating George Washington's birthday. I mean, what kind of a deal is that? That guy was a bigot and a hater and a slave owner, for crying out loud. See, I mean, and I don't mean to just, but that demonstrates the extreme of, look, this sounds absurd today. Tomorrow it could become reality, though. Let me kind of make the point for you. You know what? They've got a bill. A federal bill has been introduced to preserve and protect female sports. Why? Because the bill would require terms for transgender. And they got this thing called IX spending or Title IX spending to be defined as gender would be defined as that determined by a physician at birth instead of somebody deciding later in life. Okay, it's absurd that we're talking about Title IX government, federal government legislation. We're talking about debating what gender is and then say a doctor can determine it at birth. You couldn't decide yourself, and that we got to go back to that definition. And okay, we're really putting federal bills in the hopper for this stuff, and they're saying the kids are mentally ill. What the heck? And this is stuff that you couldn't even imagine literally 2 or 3 years ago, even, Lowell.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that it'd be possible for someone to conceive of that kind of an idea 2 or 3 years ago. It's crazy. These guys, the lunatics, are running the asylum up there at these state legislatures and in the U.S. Congress. It's beyond the pale, Sam. I don't understand, you know, why they think this is even reasonable.
Well, and Donald Trump says Governor Northam is putting Virginia in play with gun control push. They're literally pushing, saying you don't have a right to keep and bear arms anymore.
Yeah.
And not just like women would prefer not guns. They're literally using everything they can to force this gun control agenda, which is against the law right now in America. And even if it got passed, it'd be the federal government now against the state of Virginia. I mean, this is just crazy town. And then, anyway, mental illness front center, I say they got to stay away from this. But the real answer is to get your kids out of the government school in the first place, Lowell. I just got to say
that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, get them out as quick as you can, folks. Don't keep sending your schools to these government propaganda compounds because they're brainwashing them, and you'll see in this this next bill we talk about even more.
It's so insane. You got to order Krispy Kremes to keep your sanity, ladies and gentlemen. All right, SB 70. Go ahead, sir.
You find what you're looking for, Sam. I mean, that's and that's another aspect to this we haven't discussed yet. But you find what you're looking for. If you're looking for problems, you're going to find them. If you're looking for joy, you'll find joy. If you're looking for Krispy Kremes, that's what you're going to find. And so, you know, for them to come along with a screening tool looking for mental illness, for mental health, you know, stuff like that, they're going to find problems. They're going to find law. And if they don't find problems, then they're going to, tweak the definition of mental illness slightly so that they can find problems. They need to justify this expense, right? So they will find problems. And if they don't find enough, they'll change the definition to find even more problems. And then that will justify the interventions that will come not only in the schools, but in the home. Because they want to be able to come into your home, monitor what you're doing with your family. And if you're mentally ill, Sam, they want to intervene. They want to come into your home and make sure that you don't, do any damage to your children or to your family, whatever. And this is so 1984. It is so Orwellian. That we should simply reject this out of hand. Whoever sponsored this bill is Stevie Liason. He just needs to be defeated. We need somebody in there with some common sense occupying that seat, not him. We just can't stand for this anymore, folks. We must not tolerate this kind of nonsense. We have rights. We have from God. We have the right to our lives, our liberty, and our property, and we need to protect them. We need to be vigorously protecting these rights, Sam.
Kurt, I want you to respond to this.
Well, I don't know what else to add, Sam. I mean, except that you just want to hyphenate it or emphasize it or whatever you can do.
Well, there's no end to the shenanigans, though. SB 74, this is on the Senate side, I guess. Senate Bill 74. It's called Family Planning Services Amendments, Lowell.
Now, this bill is sponsored by Derek Kitchen, and it would require the Division of Health Care Financing to apply for a Medicaid waiver or a state plan amendment to extend family planning services to certain low-income individuals, specifically those having an income level that is equal to or below 250% of the federal poverty level. Wow.
So you can make a lot of money, folks, is the bottom line, because when you look at that level, I mean, I'm not saying it's a lot of money, but when you talk about 250%, pretty soon it covers probably over half the population, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the federal poverty level is something like $40,000 a year annually or something.
Yeah, it depends on how many children you have. They have a whole chart.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Kurt Crosby could make like $1 million and still be under.
250% of $40,000 is $100,000. And just
think
of how many people in our state, I mean, most of them, I'm sure, make less than $100,000.
Yeah, the average household income is around $50,000 or so, depending on where you live, give or take, and stuff like that. But, hey, 250% of that or whatever, what's that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like way above $120,000.
$125,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I mean. It's a lot of cash, folks. But the problem with it, too, is this. You got to understand the words they use and the words we use. Family planning, to me and you, Lowell, might be, hey, you know what? I want to make sure that I've got a vehicle that can support the number of children that I have, or I can put them all in seatbelts. So I got to, you know, we're going to have a new baby, so I want to plan for a vehicle. Now, by the way, I'm not announcing we're having a baby. I'm too old. I'm just saying. We need a vehicle to handle that. We need.
You're not too old, Sam.
I'm too old, man. Anyway, so what I'm saying, though, is that you've got planning would be, to me, we're going to live together naturally and normally. We're going to welcome children as God sends them to us, and we're going to plan accordingly. That's, to me, what family planning means. But to these guys, family planning really means we're going to make sure that a woman never gets pregnant in the first place, because babies are horrible on the environment and for every other reason. And even if you get pregnant, we're going to try to murder it. That's really their family planning term, isn't it, Lowell?
Yeah, that's right. They define family planning much differently than you and I do. Just like you said, family planning to them is abortion services or contraceptive services, abortive services. Those are the things they mean when they say family planning. See how nice it sounds to say family planning. But when in reality, the devil's in the details in this one, baby, and they want to kill your babies. They want to contraceive them.
Yeah, and if they don't prevent it in the first place or kill it once it exists, what they want to do is they want to mentally screen it and call it a mental case.
Yeah.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be. They would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
All right, any more on this family planning bill there, Lowell?
No, we're good, thanks.
All right, SB 68 in the news, ladies and gentlemen. What's that? Your federal government's at it again, Lowell.
Right. Senate Resolution 68 last week was voted on by the U.S. Senate, and basically it's a step in the right direction, although I'll explain why it's not necessarily ideal. But basically this prohibits the President of the United States from launching a military attack against Iran without approval from Congress. This bill passed with a vote 55 to 45. So, yeah, I applaud this. It's a good thing. Utah Senator Mike Lee, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul were two of the seven Republicans who joined every Democrat in voting for the resolution. Now, the Democrats probably voted for it simply because they wanted to put down Trump. But, you know, the sensible ones back there said, you know what, we don't want any president. No matter what the party is, a president should not be launching military attacks without a congressional declaration of war. So the reason this, I say this kind of upside down is that, you know, it should be standard practice and well known that the president does not wage a war that's not declared by Congress. If Congress doesn't declare war, the president should not wage it. Well, what we've had for several presidents now, and Bush and Clinton, Obama, you know, and the current president, the Congress gave up. They basically, you know, delegated the authority to wage war to the president. It said, Mr. President, if you think you need to go to war, you go do it. You know, this authorization of use of military force, AUMF, that they passed way back in 2001, I think it was. Anyway, this is unconstitutional delegation of power. No way did the state give to the general government the authority put in the hands of the president this decision-making authority to wage war. No way did they grant that power. They said that should be in Congress. Why? Because Congress is closest to the people. They have to, you know, answer to the people. They should be the ones to decide whether we go to war or not. Okay, so or they can issue a letter of mark and reprisal. I mean, that's used to happen in the early days of our country, but hasn't happened recently. But Congress could issue a letter of mark and reprisal if they wanted to target just one or two individuals. But they haven't declared war on Iran. They haven't issued a letter of mark and reprisal. Therefore, President should not take military action. But they fear that he's going to, and so that's why they considered the Senate Resolution 68. Which, of course, I support. I'm glad that it passed. I imagine, hopefully Trump will heed it and will not launch any military action against Iran without congressional approval. Sam?
I would come back and say this. You know what? We, the people, need to really understand. What is America about? Are we about war or about peace? We need to have everything in our government push towards the idea of peace. And so every check and balance that would stay our hand, every check and balance that would make it difficult to go to war, now defending the nation is a different discussion, but we really need to think about this and say, are we making it hard to stop war or easy to prevent war in the first place? And I really think we need to think about that. You know what? The checks and balances the founding fathers put in place are for a wise reason. It's not that we can never go to war if it's justified. The more people you have involved to say, yes, it is necessary for our national defense. Yes, there is a defined plan to take care of business and get out. Okay, there's a lot of levels to this. And I think we, as you wisely point out, should use the constitutional mechanisms long before we go to war, long before we spend money on the military-industrial complex, long before. And so really it's a question of how do we have the system set up to operate? And the founders set it up very wisely to say, hey, it's going to take a lot of support and a lot of triggers, pardon the word, before we go to war. The congressmen and senators are going to have to agree on it. They're going to have to, and it was designed that way to get as many people involved as possible and to make it a debated issue or a discussed issue or an understanding issue or assess the threat. Enough was going to have to be on the table to, quote, justify and, quote, give permission. They made the bar very high, and we've literally circumvented that reality all in the name of peace, supposedly. And that, I think, is the crux of the problem. Kurt, you want to?
I'm not sure what to, contribute here, but, when you talk about a high bar and these things, we've got that in so many ways, but it's nice to have, well, ways that we can improve, isn't it?
Yes. Lol?
Well, related to this is this article, Senator Paul's Finance Spending Oversight Management Subcommittee held a hearing last week on the Afghanistan papers. I don't know if you've, I don't know that we've really talked about the Afghanistan papers, but basically it's a report that was leaked to the Washington Post, similar to like the Pentagon papers back when the Vietnam War was being fought in the 70s. But basically these Afghan papers revealed just how numerous high-ranking military officials and even cabinet members have known for years that the Afghanistan war was unwinnable, right? And a lot of them are confused about why we're over there, what we're doing. They misled Congress. They misled the American people about the prospects of victory. And so the reason that's related to what we're discussing here is because military action taken by the president over the past two or three or four presidents does not square with the Constitution. And that if we had listened to the Constitution, if we had followed the Constitution, then we would never have been in all of these countries over there fighting for regime change and so forth. And the Afghan papers reveal that, there is a lot of confusion at the top. There's a lot of knowledge that they haven't shared with us. They knew that we didn't have reason to go in and beat up Iraq. They knew this, and Afghanistan and Yemen. I mean, they know all of this, and yet they're withholding it from us, the citizenry, and they're delegating, unlawfully delegating to the president this ability, this authority to choose when to go to war and when to strike militarily and when to sanction countries put them under economic duress. And it's just backwards. It's just terribly backwards. And so this is the first step. This U.S. Senate resolution that passed is the first sign of courage from Congress I've seen on this issue for like decades.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we commend the Democrats on this one, and only a few senators, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and about seven of them that are Republicans, went along. Sadly, it's turned into a partisan issue. The reality is we need to pray for and stand for peace, and we need to use every check and balance we possibly can to say, let's only go to war when it's absolutely justifiable before God and man and necessary. That's serious indeed. All right, Judge Napolitano wrote an incredible article that got published in the 10th Amendment Center, worth our discussion as well, Lol.
Yes, thank you. Great article about domestic spying. Spying, right? Spy. S-P-Y-I-N-G. Spying. Domestic spying. You can read the whole piece, of course, at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. We won't discuss the whole thing here, but basically, folks, the Patriot Act, Section 215 of the Patriot Act is going to expire March 15th. That's like in 3 weeks from now. And so you've got going through Congress a bill, a piece of legislation to renew this section of the Patriot Act. Now, this section authorizes the federal government to capture without a warrant all records of all people in America held by third parties. So that's like your internet provider, all of the social media you do, the telephone calls you make, the emails that you send, And by the way, this is flat out not constitutional. Section 215 of the Patriot Act is not constitutional. However, Congress acts as though it is. And so it reminds me of that famous cartoon that I've been talking about for 20 years now, Sam. But basically, you've got a copy of the U.S. Constitution and a rubber stamp coming up from, you know, having stamped the Constitution, which said, and that rubber stamp says, void where prohibited by law.
Wow.
Right? And so Congress simply passes a law, the U.S. Patriot Act, totally misnamed act, but they pass this law which voids the Constitution, Sam. It's so backwards. That's not how this Constitution was designed to work. The Constitution was supposed to stand independent until it was amended, right? That's how you change the Constitution. You amend it. And there's a specific process to do that. You don't just, you know, Congress passes an act or a bill or something to change the Constitution. That is not how the designers intended the Constitution to work. But that's what we have with the Patriot Act. It's totally unconstitutional, but Congress acts and behaves as though it is. And so that's where the federal government gets the authority, so-called, to spy on you and your communications without a warrant, right? Now, why do they do that? Well, they do it because they can. Simply put, they do it because they can. Citizens don't say no. That's why they do it. They take whatever, you know, you give them an inch, they take a mile. They'll take whatever authority, whatever power that we give to them, they will take it, and they will exercise it, and they will strip us of our rights one by one, bit by bit, year after year, until we stop them, until we tell them to quit it, we've had enough, and we're going to not stand for this anymore. That's what's going to happen. So anyway, that's the deal here. Domestic spying, it's a real thing, unfortunately, right here in the U.S. of A., and they justify it on unconstitutional grounds. And what we don't realize, Sam, is the wisdom of Jefferson and Madison, who wrote that the states have a duty to erect the barriers against the encroachment of the general government upon the liberties of the people. That is what we should be doing. That's what our legislature should be doing. We need to stand up to the general government. Where are the gubernatorial candidates in Utah with any political courage at all to do this kind of thing, Sam? And anybody who's listening, do you have a sheriff who understands that he is the chief law enforcement officer in your county and that the feds have no authority to do anything in your county without his approval? Is that the kind of sheriff you have? Well, if not, you need a new sheriff. Sam?
Yes, sir. I would say on this one, Lowell, this is something that we got to understand about our liberties. If we don't defend them, we're going to lose them. And I think Judge Napolitano is right on this one. I don't think he's right on everything. I know he's a constitutional attorney and I'm not, but I don't believe he's right on everything. But on this one, I think he is spot on. And I think that we need to be really, really, really careful that we don't just kind of ignore this. All right. This is something that is not easily understood, right? We just want to, quote, leave it to the professionals. I don't think we can do that. Okay? Domestic spying, ladies and gentlemen, has got to stop. And you know what? FDR kind of started a lot of the abuse. But you know what?
Yes.
George Bush catapulted it into modern times for us, if you will. He should have gone to prison for it. Any final comment, Lowell?
Let's just remember, part of our history, folks, was kicking back against the general warrants issued by the Parliament, allowing a British soldier to search your premises, take anything they want, seize anything they desired. That's why we have the Fourth Amendment, folks.
Amen. And whether it was the Japanese in World War II they abused, or whether it was us modern times with George Bush spying on all of us, lying and said that he didn't, he should have been in prison over that. All right. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam. Kurt, good to be with you.
God save the Republic.